Alexander Kane, thanks for the €5. Indulge my conspiracy for a moment. Is there any possibility John was given his deal, his Hollywood deal, because he had free reign on YouTube and other places? Thank God. Thanks, guys.
Like Jesse Ventura.
What happened with Jesse Ventura?
Yeah. Oh, you know, where Jesse Ventura came out against the war in Iraq, and they effectively bought his contract up and set him down for X number of years. So it's almost like saying, okay, we're going to buy you out, mm-hmm. and we don't want you to talk because we don't want you going against the war. So we're just going to put you on ice. And because he was technically under contract, because they were just buying his contract out, basically they were putting him on ice for X number of years during the course of the war.
But I not think putting that's him what on
they're asking. Yeah, they wanted him off air. They got rid of Donahue in a similar way. Well, they just canceled Donahue's show. Yeah. I don't think so, but Ted, I mean, you would know better. You were closer to it than I was.
I think John wouldn't know, right, if that were the case. You know, it's like, you know, as far as he's concerned, you know, these are people who saw how hot he was on the internet. They were like, okay, well, let's strike while the iron's hot, and we can all make some money and put out a movie or a TV show, and it'll be great. And you know, we'll get a sure thing because he's got this built-in audience. It's probably just as simple as that. But I have seen this thought expressed elsewhere. I wonder if John gave that any thought, if that was something that he felt like. I think he could have probably avoided that concern by continuing to do his shows here and Deep Focus instead of quitting them both, as he's done very, you know, precipitously. It's a look that I don't know if he thought through, or maybe he just didn't have a choice. I kind of tend to doubt that there's like vast conspiracies to, right, you know, take like, you know, critics of Zionists off the air and stuff like that. And if so, operators are standing by. I need $10 million to shut up about Israel.
I know, right? I mean, look, man, John
I actually wouldn't have done it, to be honest. I don't like anyone who tells me I have to shut up in any respect. I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, you're going to feel some kind of way about it. I mean, John got, what, 7.8 million views on Joe Rogan?
He 1.2 billion on that TikTok.
That is amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's an incentive right there by itself. It's like, oh, this guy can pull in his numbers.
Yeah. Cool. No, I mean, the incentive structure makes sense. I mean, you know, I'm not sure about all the rest, because it's like, it's not a show. It's an option.
Right.
I mean, you and I both know. I mean, basically, when a TV show is, so when you, I mean, John and I have both been optioned before. It's like, so an option just means that you get paid a certain amount of money for them to have the right to develop your book or whatever. In this case, it's a book. Then if they choose to exercise the option, then it goes into development, which is basically the next step. And you get some money for being in development. And then if they green light the show, then it goes on the air. But then it has to do well in order to stay on the air and be renewed. So it's basically like, you know, there's 1,000 tadpoles, but, you know, 999 of them end up in the belly of a fish. You know, it's hard. So I got to say, like, I don't think, honestly, I mean, this kind of reminds me of, I was talking to Scott Stantis, who does DMZ America podcast with me. He's a cartoonist, about Mark Allen Stamety. Mark Allen Stamety, he had a cartoon called Washington that was in the Village Voice. It was all over the place. It was a big deal. Okay, so he was in well over 120 papers. That meant he was making probably close to $500,000 a year in the 90s. For a cartoonist, that's good, especially because it's an alt cartoon. Anyway, the point is, Time Magazine came to him and said, dude, you got to quit your syndication. We want you exclusively, and we will pay you for that privilege. Now, at the time, now Time Magazine, the kids are like, what's that? But, you know, Time Magazine was a colossus, as you know. I mean, at one point, it had a circulation of 15 million copies a week. So he's like, Time fucking Magazine. I used to be in Time Magazine after Mark. So it's like, it was a big deal. He took the deal. And I think it was about 6 months later, they just decided to go in a new direction, a Mark Stamety-less direction. And he was shit out of luck. And of course, you know, he couldn't get his syndication back. That was the end of his career. Done. And so I get very scared of any attempt to say, like if I got an offer to a big Hollywood offer, I'd cut back some things. I might go from 3 cartoons to 2 cartoons a week. I might go from 1 column every week to 1 column every 2 weeks. I might go from 10 podcasts a week to 5, but I wouldn't get rid of, anything. You know what I mean? Like I'd want to keep my, like Matt, you know, I know Matt Groening. Matt Groening kept doing Life in Hell, his newspaper comic strip, for decades after he got The Simpsons. You know, he didn't need it, but he just felt like he wanted to still be, he wanted to be in touch with his roots. He wanted to have that means of expression. I get that. That's more how I am.
See, I made a mistake when I was at the network and I stopped doing my channel. Like it's like I ended up, I kept doing it for a while, but after a while I effectively stopped doing the channel and then just focused on the network. And so when the network went belly up, it's like you have to start almost over from scratch. No, I agree with you. I mean, it's, John will be missed.
Yeah. He'll be missed. No, for sure. For sure.